of the time, that's not the greatest thing in the world. All right, I'm going to pause for a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you that you're there for us. You're never not there for us. And I thank you that you love us. Lord, I ask you to speak through me. I thank you for speaking to me, because I needed to hear first what you said to me. And Lord, just let it help whoever else it's supposed to help, Lord. We love you. Amen. Well, good morning. Our summer is rapidly coming to an end. My birthday's at the end of the month. I never looked forward to my birthday as a kid because it always meant school started after Labor Day. So it was kind of like, oh, my birthday's coming, that stinks. But now I work all the time, so I just take off on my birthday now. I decided a few years ago I do not want to work on my birthday. So I usually take it off. The kids go back to school here in a couple weeks. Parker will be in his second year of college. He's going to live in an apartment with a couple of friends of his from school this year instead of a dorm. He spent his summer working about 50 hours a week most weeks, which was good. Gave him a little perspective on what's hard and what's not. School's not really that hard. Jack's been working all summer. He's a little tired back there, but he's done a good job. They've been wanting him to work a lot, which means he's doing a good job. And that, of course, as a dad, makes you proud. Holden turned 14 last Monday, and he's getting taller every morning, it seems like. He, at the moment, is a professional video game player until school starts again. And then he's a student. And Sam, his birthday is, what, the 22nd? So next week or so. And he decided to break his foot in the driveway a couple weeks ago playing basketball. So that kind of ended our frisbee golfing that we were doing for a while there this summer. But hopefully his foot will heal up and he'll be just fine. And Joe is Joe. She's wonderful.
She's gone blonde.
She has gone blonde. She's going blonde. I thank God that I fall in love with her more every day. And that's the truth. And I've been working and trying to enjoy some summer with them all. So there's that in a nutshell. You know, God, he showed me a couple things here in the last week or so, and he's told me a few things, and I'm here to share those with you today. I don't have 100 scriptures today, so I'm going to talk to you about some of these things in the way that he was talking to me about them. It's what I understand. It's what I know. Hopefully you can understand it. And I guess there's not a minimum amount of scriptures you're supposed to have in a message, but we've got a few. But, you know, it's just reading scriptures for the sake of reading scriptures, I don't feel the need for that. I'll read the ones that God brings to me and points out and that, but anyway. So I've been hearing this song on the radio. You know, God speaks to me a lot through songs. And there's a few really good songs out there right now. You all are alive right now, so you know how much the spirit of fear is rampant in this country right now. And it really is. Fear of all kinds of things. And there's a couple of really good songs out about fear. One's called Fear is a Liar. The other one is it's called The Breakup Song. You heard that one? Sounds kind of like a 50s song a little bit, and it says, "Fear, you don't own me. You've got no place in this story." So this girl said she wrote a song from the point of view of breaking up with fear. So there's some good songs out there right now. But the one that I've been hearing that's been talking to me is called Counting Every Blessing. And it's from a group that I had never heard of. Their name is Rend Collective. I don't have any idea what that is all about. R-E-N-D Collective. And it's a great song. It kind of reminded me a little bit of a song from when I was a kid, but it's not the same song. And of course, I don't sing. Sorry, I'm not going to sing. So I'm going to read you the words of this song. It says, "I was blind, now I'm seeing in color. I was dead, now I'm living forever. I had failed, but you were my redeemer. I have been blessed beyond all measure. I was lost, now I'm found by the Father. I've been changed from a ruin to treasure. I've been given a hope and a future. I've been blessed beyond all measure. I am counting every blessing, letting go and trusting when I cannot see. I am counting every blessing, surely every season you are good to me. You were in the valley of shadows. You were there in the depths of my sorrows. You are my strength, my hope for tomorrow. I've been blessed beyond all measure. Surely your goodness pursues me. Surely your heart is still for me. I will remember your mercies all my days, through every storm and gale. I am counting every blessing, letting go and trusting when I cannot see. I am counting every blessing, surely every season you are good to me." Now, every time I would hear that song, when it would say that I've been blessed beyond all measure, that part's just been ricocheting around my brain and my heart for weeks. And, you know, I took hold in the baseball practice the other night, and I was kind of thinking about, you know, what God, what do you want me to talk about, you know? I know what you've been talking to me about. Do you want me to talk about something else? You know, I'm willing to talk about whatever direction you lead me in. And so I'm taking hold in the baseball practice Thursday night. I pull up to a light on Union Center, stop at the red light. I look at the car in front of me, and the license plate says BNBLSSD, been blessed. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. This is what you keep talking to me about, and here it is right in front of me on a license plate at the stoplight. I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm not so dense that I can't just hear you. So in Genesis 1:27, it says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." And verse 28 says, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply." Now, God started to bless man right after he was created. And you know what? He hasn't stopped. And he never will stop. And that's very comforting to know. Now, sometimes our blessings are as obvious as the nose on our face. Things like our family, our friends, our jobs, our faith. our talents, the things that he's blessed us to be able to do. But a lot of times, they're not so obvious. I read this quote from an Irish essayist. His name was Robert Lind, and he said, I am a confirmed believer in blessings in disguise. I prefer them undisguised when I myself happen to be the person blessed. In fact, I can scarcely recognize a blessing in disguise except when it is bestowed upon someone else. We can always see how it's a blessing in disguise for somebody else, what they're going through. But it never really seems like that to us when it's us that's going through it. So I want to talk to you for a minute about this idea of blessed beyond all measure. I measure things for a living. That's what I do. I'm a machinist. I go to work, I get a folder for a job, I pull out a blueprint, I cut off a piece of steel a little longer than the part ends up, a little bigger than it starts out or than it ends up at. I try to make it to what the print says the dimensions are supposed to be, and then I measure all the sizes of the part before I pass it on to someone who will drill holes in it, mill flats on it, grind it, whatever else needs to be done to it. And I've been doing that for 30 years. Started the day after I got out of high school. About 2 months ago, and in 30 years, there's been a lot of stuff I've learned. About 2 months ago, I got a trainee, a guy named Gabe. Gabe is 24 years old, and he did IT for a Catholic missionary group in Ireland for 4 years. And just as a side note, I thought it was very interesting that God sends me a Catholic guy who worked for a missionary group in Ireland, and their goal was to encourage a personal relationship with Jesus Christ in the Catholic Church in Ireland, to not just go to Mass, say your Hail Marys or whatever it may be, but to actually have a working relationship. So I thought that was kind of cool that he sends me a guy that we have some good conversations, you know. Some of the stuff he talks, you know, says, and he's, you know, he's still caught up in some of that. You know, he's obviously still caught up in all that stuff, but I don't, you know, try to mess with him a whole lot. I just tried to give him a little bit of insight about some things maybe and encourage him. But he's a good guy. And when he got to me, he knew absolutely nothing. So we had to start at square one. And I was thinking this morning, buddy, what did you do for a living? Okay. Is there a little bit of stuff to learn if you know nothing, like Gabe? I've often said, you know, if I had to start over and learn it all over again, I don't know that I would be up for it. Because there's just a lot of stuff to learn. So in a world of exact measurements and tight tolerances, I'm trying to teach Gabe how to understand his instructions, his blueprint, how to do what needs to be done to the part, and at the same time to read the signs that are telling you what's going on with the part while you're doing it. And then measure the part when you're done to make sure it's right. And it's tough, you know. You know, in our business, we check things extremely accurately. Like, probably more accurately than you really can imagine if you don't know anything about it. And I'm not trying to sound like a blowhard or, you know, pat ourselves on the back, because the things that we do in that kind of work, they're able to be done because of the machinery you have and things like that, but you still have to have some skill to go with it and the knowledge. So just to give you some sort of an idea, just so you kind of know, this is a sheet of yellow legal pad paper. It's 3/1000ths of an inch thick. I checked it. okay? When I make a part, generally speaking, I'm allowed to be 0.005 of an inch above or below the size, okay? So essentially, this piece of paper folded in two, that thickness is the amount that I'm allowed to be, big or small, okay? And that's our normal tolerance for turning stuff, is usually 0.005. Okay, Dad was a grinder. I'm supposed to become a grinder in a couple of months, and that'll be a whole another bunch of stuff to learn, but it's a good opportunity, so I'm going to do it. So in Dad's world as a grinder, they would hold tolerances down to the tenth, which is, stay with me, this piece of paper split 30 times. One piece of that 30 is a tenth. And then half tenth, 50 millionths, also could be held if you have something to check it accurately, which would be a half of that one of those 30. So it's extremely precise, okay? But all that comes with experience. You can't walk in there tomorrow and start doing that, you know? And my buddy Gabe at work, Gabe will be fine. You know, Gabe's very, he's anxious to learn, and he's driven to learn because he's getting married, and he wants to provide for his wife, and he wants to have a life. And his dad's a pilot, and they live in Kenwood, and, you know, his beater car is an Audi, so it's not like, you know, it's not like he probably couldn't live in the basement for years to come like a lot of people do, but he wants to provide for his family, and he wants to have a skill. So he'll be fine. So when I was thinking about Gabe the other day a little bit, because as we've been working together, you know, I've been trying to show him, you know, so many things, and at the same time, I have to try to make some parts. We're kind of slow at the moment in my department, so it's the perfect time to train him. We've got the time. And isn't that the case with anything? You never have the time to do anything right. Well, right now we do. So I'm letting him do little different parts of the whole process to learn that part, but not be responsible for it all because that's too overwhelming at the moment. So the other day, we actually were running a manual machine, a little engine lathe, and he was altering these screws, and I kind of showed him how to do it, and he picked it up, and he was doing it. And then we went back and we ran the other machine, and the other machine we run is a CNC machine, so you just put the sizes that you wanted to turn it in there, you set the tools, and then you make the part that way. So I'm always telling him to watch the numbers on the screen, which tell us where we are in the two directions that the machine moves. And we went back over there, and he says, "It finally makes sense." And I said, "What?" He said, "The numbers." He said, "You've been telling me to look at the numbers." And he said, "I have no idea what I'm looking at, really." He said, "After running that manual machine, I understand what I'm seeing, because I actually did it by hand." And it's like, well, we're getting somewhere then. Good. He's only got 2 months, and then I'm going to the other end, so he better hurry up. So as I'm thinking about this and him and, you know, I start seeing my parallels to God and the things of God. You know, if I follow my instructions, if I follow his lead, and I do what I should do, and if I read the signs as I go along, because there's signs around us all the time, I may, and I underlined may, be able to accurately measure some of my blessings. Maybe. We had a part recently. It was a thread gauge. And we made this thread gauge. And it you screw it into a tapped hole to know that it's a good fit before you send something out. Well, they had another young guy who doesn't really know that much yet try to check the gauge, and he was checking this thread gauge with the wrong gauge. So he was saying that it was off, and it was like, my one boss says, "Will you check this and see what's going on?" I was like, "Yeah, I'll check it." I open the box that has all these little things in it, and I see two things missing that shouldn't be missing at the same time, and I'm like, I have a feeling I know what's wrong. He's using the wrong things to check it. So I checked it. It was wrong. What he was using was wrong. When I checked it with what was right, it was right where it was supposed to be. But it caused this huge mess about whether these other parts that this gauge needed to fit into were right or wrong. And so anyway, if I try to measure my blessings based on my ideas or my plans, you know what? I'm using the wrong gauge. So I have a question, and I think I know the answer to this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Has God ever blessed you in a way that was unexpected? Hard to take? Frustrating? Confusing? There's not a person in here who can't say yes. It's not at all what you would have chose. We've all been there. We're all probably there right now in some way. That's where I feel like I've been recently. And it's a very weird place to be in. And you know what? If you stay there too long, it gets to be a roadblock to your growth. You won't keep growing if you're busy being mad at God about what he decided to do that you don't agree with or don't like. You know, God's timing is perfect, and he knows what's best. And we need to trust that, even when we're not sure how it will all add up. Only when I start to trust him about the stuff that I don't understand that he's doing for me, only then will I start to get some peace about these situations. So I'm going to read you I was thinking of an example of someone who was blessed in a way that I'm willing to bet you wouldn't have been their choosing. It's in Luke 1. I'm going to read 26-38. It says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be." And I want to pause right there for a second. I read that in Phillips yesterday, and it said she was highly perturbed. I thought that was funny. Mary was highly perturbed at this angel's greeting. "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." Mary submitted to God's will there. Actually, pretty quickly. I don't think some of us would have submitted that quickly, probably. But I'd say it wasn't easy for her, because there was so much that was going to go with that decision. You know, we know people in those days got married way younger and that kind of thing, and she was a teenager, they said, basically. But to have a baby out of wedlock could get you stoned, killed, you know. When we submit to God's will, it costs us something a lot of times. But it's so worth it. I'm not sure that she really understood the impact of what her decision would mean for all of us, but I'm so glad she submitted to that will. Now, as I was thinking about Mary, and I hope he doesn't mind, I immediately thought of someone else that I never met. I never met Clyde's mother. I would have liked to, from what Joey's told me. You know, I think my grandmother reminded her a lot of her grandmother. And I know how much I loved her. But Emma Morgan had her last child at the age of what, Clyde? How old was she? She was 45. Okay, now that's not, you know, ancient, like Elizabeth's age. But I'd say most of the people here at 45 wouldn't be wanting to have a child. That would be tough. And I'm sure, because people aren't any different now than they were then, I'm sure there were stupid things said. I'm sure there was looks. There were just things to deal with that, you know? But from what I know of her, she trusted God. Now, you know, you trust God, but you never know what the end result's going to be. You know what I mean? So she trusted him. She had a son at an advanced age. And you know what? That son ended up being there for her in her times of need when she was older and she had health issues and she needed someone to take care of her. And when she stepped from life into life, he was there. I'd say she was blessed beyond all measure right there with that child and with her other children. Don't get me wrong, but you know what I'm saying? It's just kind of at that time in her life, in that situation, at that age, not everyone would consider that a blessed situation. Let's just say that. Counting every blessing is adding up all that God has done to only then realize, wow, this is really beyond measure for me. I can't compute all this. And as I was thinking about some of this, you know, some of these blessings that we have, they're in disguise. We have a hard time recognizing them for what they are. How can I accurately add all this up? You know, God's always adding to our lives. And as I was thinking about this yesterday, you know, sometimes it's addition by subtraction. If that makes any sense. Every one of us has endured a loss of someone or something. Let's be honest, we've all lost a lot through our life. And it can really confuse our equation that we're trying to keep up with. You know, at work, our engineers, they're really good at math. I guess it makes sense. You're an engineer, you're going to be good at math. And they understand some pretty complex equations and formulas. You know, they had to learn those in college. And this is a guy who was terrible at math in school. I used to get in trouble for not doing good. The last math I took was geometry in school. I failed algebra, or I pretty much failed algebra, I believe, in the ninth grade, eighth grade, whatever grade it was. I hated math in school, but it wasn't usable to me. Well, now I use it every day to do what I do, and I understand that math, and it has a purpose, and that's, I think, why I can wrap my mind around it. But if I have our engineers, they design parts on a CAD program on a computer, which is a computer-aided design program. So if I need a dimension for a part, like, you know, if I'm making a part and it's a straight part like this, say, and it goes straight across, let's say it goes down on a 20-degree angle, at the bottom of that 20-degree angle, or where that 20-degree angle goes, it matches up with an eighth-inch radius here, like a half-round circle. Then it goes over and has another radius, and then goes up another angle, and then goes straight again. That's a lot of math right there. Where does this angle meet this radius on this size, and where does it stop, and where does the next one start, and where does the next one finish? It's a lot. You can get extremely lost really quickly. Even the engineers, I believe, would get a little bit lost trying to do all that by hand. But the way that program works, they can take their mouse and they can click the spots on the drawing that they're looking at, and it'll show them the dimensions for dimensions like we use, the sizes. It shows them the X, which is in and out, and the Z, which is side to side, dimensions, in nanoseconds. I mean, it's there when they click it. So that computer is doing that complex math faster than you can blink. And as I was thinking about that, because I go in there a lot and get dimensions from our engineer, you know, and he's a really good guy, our head engineer, and he never is hesitant to give you a dimension or to, you know, discuss something. He's always looking for ways to make things better, and that's nice. But I was thinking, you know, wouldn't it be nice if we had a CAD program for the parts of our life that we just can't figure out how this is adding up? We do. It's right here. You look in there, and you can get the answer to where you are. Hebrews 4:9, I believe, was given for just a moment like that. It says, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God." Here's a secret. We're not expected to make it all add up. That's what we try to do, but we don't have to. So I want to say thank you, God, for our blessings and for blessing us beyond all measure. And I thank you, God, that you don't let our limitations affect your plans. And he doesn't. So that's all I have for you today. I want you to know you are blessed beyond all measure. And thankfully, you don't have to try to measure it. You can trust that he knows what he's doing. And it's for your best. I'll close in a word in prayer. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for correcting me and talking to me about something that I needed to hear. We get so caught up in what we want or think should happen. And that doesn't mean anything compared to what you want to do. And I ask you just to help us to keep that in perspective. I'm way, way more comfortable with you calling the shots than me trying to do it. Lord, I thank you for my brothers and sisters here today. I thank you for them listening. I pray that there's something that, you know, that they needed to hear from you out of this that will encourage them or help them. And I just ask you to bless them, Lord. We love you and we praise you and we thank you for everything. Amen. If anybody needs any prayer, we're always here to pray with you. If not, enjoy your Sunday.